the new noise. We're going to meet and greet and hear from our in-studio guest, Daniel Masterson. Now Boston's own local Daniel Masterson. I see him sitting across our table here, smiling at me, half-eaten apple, keyboard all hooked up in front of him. Oh, this is going to be good. Don't go anywhere because we're sticking around. You should too. Okay, so I promise you new noise. All right, this will be something brand new from the Water Boys. Yeah, those Water Boys. Remember back from the 80s, the Water Boys? Something new from them. This disc is called Out of All This Blue. This is brand new called If the Answer Is Yeah. It's new. WMFO, Medford.
Can you tell me the truth without softening its punch? And stick with me, baby, when push comes to crunch. Can you shake your bones to a number of truth? And remember that the world don't revolve around you. Can you live with a man without becoming his mother? Do you need a dedicated full-time lover? If the answer is no, 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 sayonara, dear. But if the answer is yeah, 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 come right over here. Do you find 30 Rock and crazy or funny? Are you proof against fashion? Can you take or leave money? Do you love cashmere worn close to your skin? If I knock on your heart, will your heart let me in? Do you own your own shadow? Do you make your own light? Would you like to cuddle down with me tonight? If the answer is no, 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 sayonara, dear. But if the answer is yeah, 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 come right over here. I don't mind if you don't have a clue who played sax on Memphis Old Steel. I don't care if you don't know who tried to pull Sister Flo. Can you lead when you need to, yet sometimes be led? Can you tell me the last six books you read? Can you reach for the stars while you stand in the dirt? Wear a motorcycle jacket with a long black skirt. Meet success and failure with a peal of laughter. And live elegantly ever after. Go the extra mile, do it all in style. And take a tumble with me for a while. If the answer is no, 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 sayonara, dear. But if the answer is yeah, 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 come right over here. If the answer is yeah, 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 come right over here.
That was a good joke there. I didn't get it. It's Mike on the mic here, 10:04 in the morning. How you doing? This is WMFO Medford. That was brand new noise again from the Water Boys. Those same old Water Boys making good in years later. That was If the Answer is Yeah. All right, I'm Mike on the mic here, and want to introduce you to somebody who is a local artist making good. Dan Masterson, how you doing?
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I'm impressed. I'm impressed because this is the first time, you won't believe this, but this is the first time I ever had somebody have gear that had to come up here that I actually helped. It really is.
It's one of the burdens and blessings of playing keyboard, I guess. You know, you You got to carry a little bit of extra stuff compared to the standard acoustic guitar.
Yeah, and I'm just a horrible person, actually. That's why.
Wow.
But I was glad to help you bring that up. So Dan is a power pop keyboardist. Would that be a good way to describe you?
Power pop, alternative, indie. I mean, it's tough. I've always had trouble sort of categorizing that. Especially the older stuff, I wouldn't necessarily call it power pop. Maybe more pop rock, traditional sort of.
Okay,
adult
cool.
Contemporary, but the newer stuff that I'm working on definitely gets closer to sort of that power pop alternative sound.
Okay, great. And just to give everybody some context, the Lizard Lounge has an open mic night every Monday, and a couple weeks ago, I went over there with Mike Stewart, WMFO's Mike Stewart, and I met Dan, and said, hey, how'd you like to come on the show? And he said, yeah, so that's how this came about. Now, Dan, you're from around here, you're from Walpole.
That's right, yeah, I grew up there.
Close to the prison? In the prison?
Not in the prison, no. Pretty close. We were right near downtown Walpole.
I don't think you have to try too hard to get into prison. You could have done that.
Yeah. I actually took a college course where I went into Norfolk medium security.
And
I took
the
class met there once a week for a semester.
So you were in the prison.
Yeah, I was
after
in a prison
all.
Technically. But
all right, see
I haven't
that?
Been
I'm,
sent there.
I'm extracting answers is what I'm doing. All right, so this piano, you've been playing that since you're 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not this specific keyboard in
Thank
studio,
you.
But
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have been playing piano for that long. I started early on in elementary school. I started taking lessons around second grade.
So that was like when I was in school, the music program was still very active back then. And I played the trombone and the piano. Is that how you got in just as a school program?
It was kind of funny, actually. I was given this little 8-key light up Mickey Mouse keyboard even before I started elementary school. And I started sort of learning the melodies that it would play, because as the melody played automatically it would light up the keys, and so I immediately sort of started gravitating towards that and playing my own melodies on that little thing. And
was that like a Christmas gift that you got just out of the blue, or
I was so young I don't remember how it came into my possession at all, you know. I was just wondering
why a piano. Maybe you heard a piano artist playing and you're like, oh, I want to do that.
No, although a funny story is that my parents, when I was in middle school, I played cello, and I picked it up after seeing sort of this demo from a bunch of music teachers where they played all the different instruments, and they said, all right, so we're going to demo the oboe, and we're going to demo the violin, and, you know, then you go home and talk to your parents and decide what you want to play. And so I went home, and I said, Mom, I really love the sound of the cello. I don't know, you know, it just jumped out at me. My mom, of course, like, couldn't you pick something that's a little easier to take on the bus, and, you know.
Yeah. Is the cello still in your life?
Not so much, but the thing is that I found out when I told my parents that they had played Yo-Yo Ma for me when I was an infant.
Oh.
And I had no recollection of that either. I just, you know, for some reason that sound was soothing to me even still in middle school, and I still love the sound of the cello.
Very interesting. Yeah. So middle school you mentioned.
Yep.
You're composing pieces for orchestra in middle school. What's that about?
Yeah,
honestly.
I started arranging because I was in a string orchestra in Norwood. At that point, we had moved briefly into Norwood. And at that middle school, they have a great music program there.
So
and,
what are you, about 11 in middle school?
I want to say, yeah, sixth grade. Sounds maybe a little older, maybe 13.
So composing,
yeah.
I mean, a kid doesn't just start composing. You must have...
So my dad grabbed a copy of Finale, which is a notation program.
Okay, yeah.
And I had been taking piano lessons. And I was never really into just memorizing classical pieces or anything like that. I took lessons from Rob Cento, who's a Berkeley grad, and his approach was much more theoretical and sort of... I was always into film scores. Like, I was super into John Williams in middle school. My first email address was johnwilliamsfan@hotmail.com.
Awesome.
And it's not functional anymore, but...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's how I sort of got into this orchestral, melodic kind of stuff, and I started arranging Linus and Lucy, which was a song that I was playing on piano for the orchestra.
Is that that famous score? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have the keyboard up.
I do now. You know. That's what I thought. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I started arranging that, and so as a result, now I play it in D, because every song that a middle school orchestra learns is in D or something similar.
Just to keep it.
Yeah.
Well, I also know they used to be in a Garth Brooks and country, and that has nothing to do with any of this. How did you start listening to country music?
My parents, my mom especially. You know, my dad was into the Cars and stuff like that. He's a Boston guy, and he grew up listening to that.
So the Yo-Yo Ma was really your mom, you think?
I have no idea. I mean, that was before I was really like a conscious human.
That's pretty cool,
you know?
Though. I mean,
it just like it's like in my cells that I love the sound of the
cello.
Was
she musical with you as you were growing up?
She played music a lot. There was always, you know, Oak Ridge Boys was always playing around the house. Garth Brooks, George Strait, Shania Twain, a lot of those solo artists from that sort of right as country was turning toward rock a little bit. And that crossover started to happen. That's a lot of what I grew up listening to. And, you know, I remember watching Garth Brooks live on like ABC or something during prime time. And it's like, that's unheard of now, but yeah. It was just everywhere.
So how did you make the move into liturgical music?
That was that transition. I don't even know if it's a transition. I started elementary school at a Catholic school. And the first singing that I did was in a Catholic choir, you know, a children's choir.
Yeah.
And then from there, it just my grandfather owned a funeral home in Walpole, and I started singing at funerals. And, you know, that's a big part of what I do now, you know, to pay rent and everything else, you know.
Yep. And during that whole time in high school, you just started writing your own songs. You were really busy. You were organizing benefit concerts, and you were obsessed with the Blue Man Group, which I share with you.
Yeah, the very first concert that I went to, very first rock concert, I should say, was the first Blue Man Group rock tour, the Complex rock tour that came through Boston at the time. I think it was the Bank of America Pavilion or something like that. And I was just blown away. Like, I had never seen anything so bombastic, the light show, the sound of it. And that I sort of attribute that to getting hooked on rock, you know, going to see Blue Man Group of all things, you know, a theatrical tour.
Very.
But, and so I really got into the sort of science behind those instruments, and I built one of those PVC instruments, and my neighbors every once in a while, when I go back to visit home, they're like, "You still playing the pipes, you know," and all that. I'm sure I was driving them crazy because they're not quiet.
I certainly hope so. I mean, I'm not sure. Yeah. I think you probably were. All right, well, if I could, I'd like to jump ahead quite a bit. We left you in high school. Let's just remember where we left you there, sitting there in high school. Fast forward to like 2015.
Yep.
You put out an EP called the Atlas EP.
Right.
I know you had a couple before that, but that's the first one that you gave me when I met you. There's a couple before, but the Atlas one is pretty cool, and I want to play something from that.
Sure.
Tell me about the importance of Atlas to you. That was a real turning point, I think.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That EP was one of the first times that we started tracking parts live together. We brought the drummer and the bass player in together, and I was in on organ and some other keys that wouldn't, you know, the live room had a grand piano, so we couldn't do that with the drums. But I would play in with a keyboard for organ parts and stuff like that. And I think that was the first time that we sort of started to gel, and it really started rhythmically to lock in. And that's a huge part of the recording that we're doing right now, too. But Atlas, you know, as far as the music goes, too, it was a little bit of a turning point because Learn to Live is so steeped in, you know, my previous EP, Learn to Live, was so steeped in, you know, just like downtrodden, romantic, you know, kind of vibe, that Atlas has a little bit more pickup to it. You know, it was, and that's been a turning point towards this album that I'm working on now as well, because it's, you know, just starting to write about things that aren't just being brokenhearted and, you know, that kind of.
Well, it's
so easy to
write
about.
It's a go-to.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to do things backwards like usual. I'm going to play something from Atlas first.
Cool.
And then something from Learn to Live after that. Of course, like I said, they're not chronological. Don't judge me. Anyway, very excited to play this. You've heard this on my show before. This is from the Atlas EP, and this is the title track. It's Dan Masterson here at WMFO Medford.
Always wandering, curious souls, and the love between us so persistent, it would follow wherever we'd go. From the docks on Boston Harbor, the tall ship we would commandeer, set out there onto the water, no direction, no compass, no fear. You are the wind in my sails, you are the start of my north, you make my world sing.
with our backs to the shoreline, current carried us off to the sea. Oh, the decks, they're all covered with starshine. There's no place that I'd rather be. Oh, I've never successfully captained any vessel, they all ran aground. And I've no idea where we are going, but I'm thrilled with the journey we've found. 'Cause you are the wind in my sails, you are the start of my north, and you make my world spin on its axis, and you carry my weight, baby, you are. The start of my north, you make my world spin on its axis, and you carry my weight, baby, you are my.
Wreck of me.
sorry, I'll all go down. Cause I still love you. So I sharpen the bayonet. Run me through, wrench the blade. Take what's yours and give back all the pain. I put you through this record.
Dan Masterson here, WMFO. Two from him, one from the Atlas EP, the title track to that one, and then from the Learn to Live EP, that was Bayonet. Dan, I just got to say, that this is heavily produced, professionally sounding. What was it like to, I'm a project manager.
Yeah.
But I do technical installations. What's it like to pull all of that together? Because that was terrific. Really nice work there.
Thanks. It was a different process for both of those. Yeah. The one that you just heard, Bayonet, that has some strings in there. And it's a combination of live strings and some sort of synth strings that sort of fill it out. It's hard to get that really natural string sound without it. So I asked a friend of mine, Ben Cosgrove, who's an instrumental artist, who plays piano and does a lot of, he plays like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him at the time if he would do an arrangement for that section. I knew that I wanted some strings there. And so for me, that song started on piano with vocals. I already had some sort of melodies going, and that lick at the top, was in my head. And once we had the piano and the vocal, then we started adding, the language of it just sort of called for, the military style drum. This sort of explosive kind of cymbals and stuff like that. I almost pictured that, if there were a music video to that, that it would be like in slow motion and you'd just be seeing sort of stuff like you would in a movie like Dunkirk or something like that, you know?
Sure. And how collaborative is your process? I mean, you're saying you had all these things in your head. Did you discuss this with everybody and sort of, is it a process that's like everybody, or is it really you sort of, this is how I want it to be, this is how I hear it?
So on these, it was mostly me with the vision that I had for how I wanted it to sound and things like that. And I've learned over time that that's not the best way to approach things all the time.
All the time,
it's really helpful to get other talented, clever people in with a new set of ears who are experienced, who know, hey, let's try this, or let's change this. And that's the approach that I'm taking with this new album. We've got a phenomenal band on the new album. And, those players are so good that we have some liberties in studio to say, hey, let's try this other thing and just make that switch on the fly. Whereas the way that this was tracked was sort of track by track. I went in and I tracked the piano first, and then we added the drums, and then we added, it was layering. And we're doing it very differently now. But those two albums, Atlas and Learn to Live, were done sort of stacking. track by track.
Okay. And just moving back in time, because I like to confuse everybody.
Sure.
That was around 2015 or so, these two records you just heard.
Yep.
Just stepping back a couple of years to 2011, that was really an interesting time for you. And mm-hmm. you're going to treat us to two live versions of songs from the album Father Time. In 2011, you finished that, and then you went on a tour of the UK mm-hmm. by yourself, and it was like backpacking and just sort of open mics.
Yeah. Yeah, I had called ahead and tried to secure some of those featured open mic slots. And
did you?
You know, some of those, you know, like when you have those songwriter circles and things like that, trying to get those spots where I could get in front of some new fans, people who had never heard my music, and try and make an impression. And that's sort of, you know, just doing that and learning what works to get people's attention in a noisy pub.
Yeah.
You know, that's stuff that you can't really learn any other way.
So it's not just like taking a, you know, a glass with melting ice and throwing it in the fireplace and saying, hey.
Yeah.
That's too dramatic.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, but Dan, you know, 10 cities, 30 dates, just yourself, calling on the phone. How do you do that? That must have been quite the experience, and I'm sure you came out of that different than when you went into it.
Absolutely. Oh, I came out of that writing a bunch of the songs on Learn to Live. So, yeah, it was a difficult experience. It was also a great experience. I think I love traveling by myself. I've since traveled around the Midwest twice. You know, not backpacking, but essentially backpacking as close as you can get to that. You know, crashing in the car and all that. And I love traveling. I love driving. I love looking out the window. You know, in the UK, I was taking buses and trains everywhere. And I had this lightweight keyboard that I could, I would just buy a second seat on the Megabus, and I would put it next to me.
There you go.
And I just love that sort of freedom to move around and not be tied down to any one place. And you get to see all sorts of different cities, and you get to meet all different people. And
sure. I mean, I think of that like the old adage of quote unquote finding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really played out, though.
Yeah, and I think in 2011, I was still in college. That was the summer after my junior year in college. And it's one of those things where I'd been abroad once before. and this was sort of the first time I was traveling by myself in any capacity for a long time. And I was doing it overseas, you know.
Yeah, so. Really. So, and you knew nobody there.
I did, actually. My drummer at the time was from Colne, England, which is in the Northwest.
Okay.
And so I stayed with him for a couple of days, and I had a friend who was doing a summer program in Cambridge, and I had a friend in Oxford. And so I was bouncing around trying to stay when I could with people that I knew from college that were also in England.
That makes it easier. That makes it easier.
Yep.
All right, so let's hear some music from that adventure. You said you'd play the title track from that session, Father Time.
Sure.
And we'll do another one after that from Learn to Live, Helpless.
Cool.
All right, so you do them right back to back?
Right on.
All right, we'll do that and come back and talk to you after
that.
This
is Father Time.
Very good. Stan Masterson, live in Studio A, WMFO.
Check my watch, where am I going? Is there somewhere I'm supposed to be? Something I should be doing? I sit inside as the day goes by, and there goes Father Time again. Sun comes down gently on my neck as I recall I'm living freely. At 15 there is all the time in the world. Oh, is there really? Oh, Father Time, here I am. Father Time, here I am. I don't know where to go from here. Snow begins to fall at night, frozen in motion. I watch my baby brother's eyes, yeah, wide as the ocean. And I sit inside as the day goes by, and there goes Father Time again. There he goes, yeah. He won't answer me. all the time. Here I don't know where to go from here. Oh, Father Time, here I am. Father Time, here I am. I don't know where to go from here. I watch the clock and check my watch. Where am I going? Is there somewhere I'm supposed to be? Something I should be doing. And I sit inside as the day goes by. There goes Father Time again.
Thank you. That was yeah, terrific. Man. That's where you were back in 2011, huh?
Yep. That was one of the first songs that I wrote. I wrote that one just sort of at the end of high school, if I remember right.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You'll do another one?
Yeah. Perfect. This one's a little bit of a fast forward. This one is. I recorded this on Learn to Live on a guitar.
Okay.
And I'm not much of a guitar player. I'm a decent enough guitar player to play some stuff. But I'm not. I don't usually play it. So I got into the studio and I sat down. I threw the capo on. We recorded it. And then I went in to record the vocals and I realized that I put the capo on the wrong fret. And so I was up an extra half step from where I usually perform it. And nowadays, you know, when we're playing gigs, I don't play guitar live at the shows. And so we've rearranged this tune for piano.
Okay.
And it's called Helpless.
Okay. WMFO and Dan Masterson. Thank you, Dan. That was called Helpless off of the Learn to Live CD.
Thanks.
You know, I'm just looking at the back. You're welcome. I'm looking at the back of the CD. It's a very important point. You know, Words and Music by Dan Masterson.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
That's very important. I mean, this is you.
Yeah.
And as I usually do, I ask my guests to tell us a little bit about how you got here. And, you know, how did you, who were you listening to then, and who still introduced, really makes you just envisions and makes it stronger as to why you wanted to do this in the first place. And as I've heard you play live, even more so than on the CDs, I hear your influences from Billy Joel.
Hmm.
No, I mean, there's no question about it. And knowing that you write the lyrics and you tell a story, it's very Billy Joel-ish.
Yeah.
For sure. But the song you picked by Billy Joel, there's so many, from the Great Turnstiles CD. You picked Angry Young Man.
Yeah.
Talk about that a bit, because I'm curious.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, this tune is one of those songs where he gets out and he's hammering right off the bat, right? And you'll hear that. But this is a style that I, like, gravitate towards, not just in Billy Joel's music, but in, you know, pop rock, in, you know, pop punk. Stuff that I was listening to in high school, even. I really didn't get into a lot of the singer-songwriters like Jackson Browne or Billy Joel even until I started getting, you know, senior year of high school into college, where I was really starting to open up and expand, and I was listening to funk and R&B and, you know, other generations of music that I just hadn't happened upon yet.
Makes sense.
And Billy Joel, in this particular tune, there's a lot of, you know, inner voice movement in the piano part. There's all these hits at the beginning, and it's like your classic, like, 80s.
Right.
You know, and that stuff is something that we almost have to, like, suppress a little bit on these new songs that we're working on in the studio right now, because we're not trying to make an 80s album, you know? But those influences are always there. So
always, yeah.
Those kind of tight hits with the band are something that I think on this upcoming album are going to be really easy to sort of see where that came from.
Oh, cool.
As far as, you know, the Billy Joel or any of those tight live performers like him and Elton and anybody else.
Elton. All right, so I've seen Billy Joel many times in concert, you know, with his sport jacket and sneakers.
Yep.
And the banging on this track, and like you mentioned. So a very nice introduction to why Billy Joel is one of your influences. And I'll tell you what, we'll do a two-song set. We'll figure out another one from your influences.
Cool.
And we'll surprise everybody and come back and talk
Sweet.
About that.
Yeah.
All right, Billy Joel, everybody, from Turnstiles, Angry Young Man, WMFO.
To the angry young man with his foot in his mouth and his heart in his hand. He's been stabbing the back, he's been misunderstood. It's a comfort to know his intentions are good. And he sits in a room with a lock on the door, with his maps and his medals laid out on the floor. And he likes to be known as the angry young man. I believe I've passed the age, consciousness and righteous rage. I found that just surviving was a noble fight. I once believed in causes too, I had my pointless point of view, and life went on no matter who was wrong or right. Oh, and there's always a place for the angry young man, with his fist in the air and his head in the sand. And he's never been able to learn from mistakes, so he can't understand why his heart always breaks. And his honor is pure and his courage is well, and he's fair and he's true and he's boring as hell. And he'll go to the grave as an angry old class ties and his radical plans. He refuses to bend, he refuses to crawl, and he's always at home with his back to the wall. And he's proud of his scars and the battles he's lost, and he struggles and bleeds as he hangs on his cross. And he likes to be known as the angry young man.
Season changing, oh, I felt it too. Is anybody listening? 'Cause I'm crying. Oh. Is anybody
WMFO. It is. All right, a couple of influences from our in-studio guest, Dan Masterson. Billy Joel was the first one, Angry Young Man, that I know very well. I know you have. I know you're chomping at the bit to say something about that. And yeah. Sarah Bareilles, the great Sarah Bareilles from Kaleidoscope Heart, that was Hold My Heart. Let's start first with Billy Joel.
Yeah. So I realized as I was listening to it that aside from the musical aspect, the way that it sounds, the lyrics of that tune have always sort of grabbed me, especially working on this new album, because he's singing about the angry young man, which sometimes I think that I, you know, I'm too perfect a definition of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's part of being 20-something in this time period, in this era. And I think it's always been something to do with being a 20-something. But especially right now, I feel like a lot of my peers are struggling with a lot of difficulty, whether it's financial, you know, tied down with student loan debt, or, you know, social, you know, with the state of government.
Yeah, I get what it's a different time now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that those elements have actually creeped their way into my new album, because you really can't avoid it. You know, it's everywhere. It's on your social media feeds. It's, you know, all of these stressors and the go, go, go mentality, especially here in Boston and in big cities where it's like very competitive. And
the Sarah Bareilles?
Yeah, the Sarah Bareilles tune. That is one of those records where I could listen to that on repeat forever, because it just builds so nicely, but it never gets to the point where it's like in your face and it's not aggressive. It's just really powerful, and the production on it is so smooth. I love the sound of that, and I love Sarah Bareilles. I mean, as a songwriting influence, she's up there as well. And as a performing influence, she's up there, because she just, you know, she uses this back phrasing when she plays live that just pulls you into what she's saying. And I try and grab some of those little tricks of the trade from her, especially.
When you hear artists like Billy Joel and Sarah Bareilles, like me, I mean, for some reason, I always hear melody first, and then lyrics come secondarily, which I hate about myself. But what about you? Do you concentrate on the lyrics or the music?
No, I am terrible at remembering lyrics, including my own. And the melodies will never leave me.
Yeah, like melodies grab me every time.
And I can, the funny thing, I have a few friends that are like this too. I can sing you roughly what it sounds like to verbalize those words, but I don't know what the words are. You know, it's like, yes. Hey, something like that. You know, I know the chorus of that tune, but you get the idea.
I do.
Yeah.
All right, good. Kindred spirit. So something also later from you, Don't Burn Yourself Out. Mm-hmm. I want to sort of play that.
Yeah, this is brand new.
Yeah, tell us a bit about this. This is,
So this is sort of the first track off of the new album that hasn't been released yet. We're running a Pledge Music campaign that has reached its goal. We're already at 106%.
And the name of the record is When Reality Calls.
Right, yeah. When Reality Calls. And so this album's going to have all sorts of those themes running through it, you know, being dependent on your devices and being glued to them, and that digital dependency and economic stress, trying to find some place that you can afford to rent or whatever it is. Also some romantic underpinnings too. And this song especially, Don't Burn Yourself Out, is all about that sort of being glued to your devices at the expense of your personal relationships.
Gotcha. All right, Dan Masterson recorded this time, Don't Burn Yourself Out, at WMFO. WMFO Medford, Mike on the mic here with our in-studio guest, Dan Masterson. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
What's going on?
You know,
that
I'm
was
chilling in a studio on a Saturday morning
that
playing
was
my own music. It's great.
That was you. That was terrific. I played that a couple times. I love that it's, again, with the it's really crisp recording, really nice production on your part. That nice going.
Yeah, so that's brand new. That's we're doing this album differently, like I said. So we're tracking a lot of this live all at the same time in the
wow.
in the
different
live
energy
room at the studio. Yeah, and we're doing it over at Revolution Sound Studio in Charlestown. and working with Dave Brophy, who's a producer. He's phenomenal. He's a great musician too, and he's done great work with Will Daly and Ruby Rose Fox. And I'm just
names,
you know, it's amazing to be working with the band and him in the studio, and it's been awesome.
Absolutely. So unfortunately, we're up at the end of our time here, but can I convince you to play one more live?
Absolutely. So this tune I'm going to play is "Learn to Live." You can find all these songs online at www.danmastersonmusic.com. And I have to say, before I do play this and sign off, thank you so much to everybody who's pledged
thank
to support you. This new album. 130 people already backing that, making it a reality, making When Reality Calls a real reality. So thank you. And this is Learn to Live.
Okay, we'll be back after that with Jane and Something About the Women. Here's
Thanks,
Dan
Mike.
Live in Studio A.
I'll